This episode's brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy is absolutely the best place to play fantasy sports, including best ball, daily drafts, and pick 'em. Start drafting in minutes for a shot at big cash. Sign up and make sure to use the promo code DNA, and as a first-time depositor, Underdog will match your first deposit up to $100 with the DNA promo code. So what are you waiting for? Join Underdog Fantasy. Trust me, it's in our DNA. And now, on to the newest episode of Dynasty DNA. I hope you enjoy it.
Welcome to the Dynasty DNA Fantasy Football Podcast, where we talk Dynasty Fantasy Football, Fantasy Rankings, and everything NFL. Join us and dominate your Dynasty League. It's in your DNA. And here's your host, TJ Blake.
Welcome back, DNA Strand crew, to another episode of the Dynasty DNA Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, TJ Blake. You can find me over on Twitter at FFTJBlakeDNA. And as always, we're joined by our show architect and co-host, the A-Train Andy Blake. You can find him on Twitter at FFATrainDNA. How you doing this morning, Ann?
Good. How you guys doing?
We're doing good. And next, we have Ty Blake, the producer and co-host. You can find him on Twitter at DynastyDNATy. Ty, how you doing?
Pretty good. How's it going?
We're doing good. And last but not least, it's a guy that's never a loser. He's always a winner. It's Muscles Ryan Mayle. You can find him on Twitter at DynastyDNAMus. Moss, that's what I hear. You win all these leagues. Ty always says you don't, but that's not what I hear.
That's right.
Didn't you win Perfect Dynasty?
I did.
Yeah, and he beat me. He beat me. I only lost two games that whole year. Muscles beat me twice.
Moss said F them picks.
F them picks. I did, too.
You had to dust off the shelf there to put the trophy on there. It's been a while. He finally got one. Yeah.
The cupboard's been bare.
Yeah.
The one league we just did, I think it was the DNA Scran, one of our leagues. I traded you like my whole future. I think my next pick's 2027.
Shit.
Andy took the shot.
If I get rid of them, I get rid of them too. My roster's full.
If anyone can appreciate that, that'd be me. I know.
Andy's the new Los Angeles Rams of fantasy football. You won't have a pick till 2027. I love it. But speaking of picks, the NFL draft just ended. Unbelievable. A lot of stuff to talk about. I'm like with Muss. I know on Fantasy Few Muss, you said this was a little bit maybe of a disappointment in a way with some of this stuff, but there are some good landing spots too, and there's some good things to talk about. We're going to do an NFL draft winners and losers today. We're going to talk about some of the teams that are winners and losers, and we're going to talk about some players that are winners and losers out of this. Like, when the smoke all clears, how do we feel about these guys?
Yeah. And the rookies with their spots, like, how do we feel?
Cause yeah.
Some seem like they're bad, but maybe good. So we'll see what teams, you know, or players them are.
I love it. It's like the mystery bag. We're going to find out, but we're going to hop in and talk about that here in a minute. There's so much to digest when it comes from a fantasy football aspect. Like I said, the fallout from the draft, there's nothing like it. We're going to get into all of it. But before we do any of that, I want to bring up the Dynasty DNA website, guys. We're going to be posting all of our NFL rookie Dynasty post-draft rankings over there, running backs, receivers, quarterbacks, tight ends. They're all going to be over there, so if you want to see how we feel post-draft about these players, they'll all be over there. So you got to go over there and check it out. That's dynastydna.net. And there's all kinds of other great stuff on there, too. More articles coming. I know Dynasty Wiz is always popping stuff up over there. Old Nick, he's doing a good job and doing a lot of the roster audits, too, over in the YouTube channel. Yeah. So like if you haven't checked us out on YouTube, if you want to see these pretty faces, go over to Dynasty DNA's YouTube channel and you'll get to see some of it. So,
or if you want to see not these ugly faces, listen on Spotify.
There we go.
Hey, I was just trying to be positive. But before we start breaking down the NFL draft winners and losers, we're going over here to the breaking news with Moss.
All right, it's being said that the Rams and the Steelers are interested in Cortland Sutton.
Yeah, so we've been seeing tweets. I know Bryant McFadden,
yeah.
Antonio Brown.
Did you see Antonio Brown said whoever it is going to have to change their number? So yeah. it's either Pickens with Pickens and Sutton with 14, or Debo and Calvin Austin with 19. Yeah. So That's just too high.
I bet you Calvin Austin will win that battle.
Just getting ready to say that.
Calvin Austin will tell Debo to change his number. So, but yeah, that's interesting.
I mean, it is.
I would like it as a Steelers fan, but
yeah. Now, would that affect Roman Wilson a little bit? Because I think depending who it is as well, one of them guys more are your prototypical X or just, you know, an outside guy that you can put him in motion.
Right.
I think it might help, to be honest.
Yeah, then you just put Rome in the slot.
Yep.
But I just don't know how much 11 personnel or 12 personnel we're going to run, because I know we want to run the ball. So, like, if that does happen, my opinion, it probably does take a small hit because he's not on the field as much.
That's a good opinion. Yeah, it's a good point, because we probably see a lot of Darnell Washington.
Yeah, exactly, with Pat Freiermuth, Darnell. And then, I mean, we even have a lot of Hayward, which not really for fantasy purposes, but, you know, just a solid tight end.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Buffalo signs Quintez Cephas. Don't know how relevant that is. But
did he get suspended?
Yeah, for gambling. Yeah. So maybe he makes a comeback. I mean, Buffalo doesn't really have
him. It's probably better than Keon Coleman. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, maybe not. I don't know.
Maybe not. Travis Kelce signs a 2-year extension. That kind of came out of nowhere. I didn't expect that.
How do you feel about that, Ty? Your man's back for 2 more years.
Yeah, I have him in quite a few leagues, so obviously I'm elated, man.
That's why I knew you had him in so many leagues.
Right.
Yeah, and you could have got him for like a second-round pick.
Yeah. Steal at the moment.
Zeke back in Dallas on a 1-year deal.
There we go.
I love it, baby. Feed the beast.
They didn't draft anybody, so they probably told Zeke, probably said, if you draft somebody, I'm not coming. I don't know. There's probably something said.
How do you feel about Rico Dowdle with that?
I still think Rico Dowdle holds good value. Like,
oh, yeah.
He's you know, Dallas does this a lot, man. You kind of seen like the Tony Pollard. And I'm not saying he's Tony Pollard, but like Tony didn't look as good last year, and I thought Dowdle looked pretty good.
Yeah, I think Dowdle would be one of the sneakiest offseason buys.
Yeah.
You can get him probably for cheap now, because a lot of people just assume Zeke's going
to
be that guy.
Throw in. I mean, and then on the counterpoint, you could see if you wanted to sell, but I don't think I would. I think I'd rather acquire him for, like, you know, a 25 third.
Yeah.
I mean, you could still go up in this draft, but a lot of the drafts that we're seeing, there's still some good third-round picks on the board.
There is.
So.
Oh, yeah. Tank Dell was involved in that shooting. Did you guys see that?
Yeah, yeah.
I kind of forgot about that one. Todd just showed me that one.
I just wanted to throw that in the breaking news.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, good thing he's all right.
Said he was just an innocent bystander.
Yeah.
Good thing he's okay.
Yep.
Jarvis Landry's attending Jaguars camp.
What is it?
Just as a tryout.
Is a wide receiver coach? Oh, or?
I thought it was a coach. It has a wide receiver.
Oh, maybe.
I didn't read it. I didn't even see it.
Yeah, I think he's trying out.
He's trying out, so...
How old is he?
He's getting pretty old.
I think he played, 2 years ago, I think. I don't think he played last year.
Yeah, he played with the Saints.
Maybe he did.
I don't know. It don't matter. Yeah. I don't want him on my team.
He's a roster clogger.
Yeah. But other than that, that's all I got.
Maybe you can get Brian Thomas Jr. cheaper.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's jobs threatened by Jarvis Landry. I love it. But now we're going to hop in here, guys. Must appreciate you going over that as always. We're going to hop right into this NFL draft, winners and losers. We're going to talk teams. We're going to talk players, rookies, all this stuff, how we feel about how we are going to digest it from a fantasy, from a dynasty aspect.
And I'm glad we took a couple days to, like, just let everything sink in. Just, you know, because sometimes your first reactions, you panic, you know.
Yeah,
you overlook things, so we kind of had a couple days to digest this, just look at it, and
yep.
I think it's the right call.
Absolutely. We're going to start in the NFC North. We're going to start right at the top. The number one pick, the Chicago Bears, bringing in Caleb Williams. This offense is going to look totally different. Also bring in Rome Odunze.
Yeah.
How do you guys feel? I think the Bears are definitely a winner here. They definitely are headed and trending in that right direction. They've never had a 4,000-yard passer. But how do you guys feel about Chicago, this offense, and I want to know how you feel about Caleb and Rome coming in and what you can expect from them. How do you guys feel about it?
I feel great. I feel great. This is such a good spot for Caleb. And I mentioned before, man, when you're the 1-1, you don't usually get blessed with these weapons. And they blessed him again by taking Odunze at 9. So, I could see Caleb having, like I've said before, the CJ Stroud type year one season. I really can. He's my 1-1. I love Marvin Harrison. You know, we'll get to Marvin Harrison, but like, dude, he's so good. And I love this for Odunze. Like, can you get a Dunze cheaper? In the drafts I've been in, he hasn't really fell past like
6 or 7.
Yeah, I was going to say like 7. I think 6 or 7 is usually a sweet spot. Be patient with him. I do think he's a better prospect than JSN because I know that's kind of been brought up. But he might not really produce year one unless somebody gets hurt. As far as DJ Moore, I still think DJ Moore is okay. If he does take over that wide receiver one position, and he absolutely could, I think it's 2 or 3 more years. So, if there's any kind of value you can get on with the Dunze, just be patient, man. He's going to be a great player. I love this match.
Yeah, me too, man. I really like it a lot. And that's it. Like, you hit it on the head. Like, it's patience, right, with the Dunze. You know, I think you're going to have to be a little bit patient because, I mean, you come into and you're stepping into an offense that already has Keenan Allen and DJ Moore. Mm-hmm. That's a lot to ask out of a rookie.
And I thought it was, like, kind of, I don't want to say surprising because we've seen a Dunze in a lot of mock drafts that go on there at 9. I think it was pick 9 or whatever. Really surprised he didn't trade out or even take a lineman. It kind of shows you, like, how much confidence they have in a Dunze as well and how they just want to try to get as many weapons around Caleb.
Yeah.
As possible.
So I want to ask you guys this right now. Gut feeling. I'll ask you all this. I'm going to start with Musk. Caleb Williams, how high does he finish next year? What are you expecting?
I'm going to say quarterback 8.
Quarterback 8. Ty, how do you feel?
I think he'll finish in the top 7. I think he'll right around that echelon. I don't think – I'd say probably if you want me to give a definitive answer, I'll probably say 6.
Six. I'm gonna be a little lower. I'm gonna be a little lower. I think he's gonna finish right around 13.
Okay.
And I don't have a problem with it because like I love this offense. I think Caleb's a special talent, but everyone grows differently. And you got to think though, this division is a tough division.
Yeah.
And it's gonna be a hard first year. But I mean, even if you finish that high and you're putting up points, there's nothing wrong with that. I'd be still happy with that. But I think he finishes just outside.
Which can you imagine his value if he does finish 6 or 7? Because Stroud was like. Now Stroud also missed a couple games. He's like 13, and then look at the demand. Like
right.
So if he does finish around there, and I'm kind of right in the middle with you guys. I'm going to say right around 9 or 10, just because he is a rookie. We got to see like because Keenan Allen, this is a whole new situation for him. Like obviously he has a lot of experience, so like probably ain't nothing. Like he'll probably be just fine, but. This guy's got to get a little bit of chemistry going, and it might take a couple weeks. And Chicago has a great defense, so some of these games, they might not be as high scoring or, like, you know, having to throw the ball as much. So.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So, and the last thing I want to ask you guys before we move off Chicago, how do you feel, like, out of the 3 wide receivers, if everybody's healthy, who do you think is going to be the most productive out of the 3? Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Roma, Dunze, Moss, who do you feel?
Probably DJ Moore.
Ty?
DJ Moore.
Yeah. I'm going to say Keenan Allen.
I know it's close.
One reason why is because Caleb Williams has a connection with him. Like that, like Chargers, USC, I guess they were kind of, I don't know, like they've kind of met before. I don't know. I just have a feeling. Keenan Allen's a catch machine.
Yeah,
if he's healthy. So I'm kind of leaning Keenan Allen, I think maybe. But what do you think, Ian?
Oh, man, that's tough. I mean, this is a pure guess. Like I don't have anything to back it up, but I'd probably say Keenan Allen, and specifically why for me is just his route running ability. And you got to remember, DJ Moore was a big advocate of keeping Justin Fields, like a big advocate.
Right.
They play so different though. DJ Moore can just, he's such a yak guy.
Yeah.
So I could see him being, you know, more productive. Like I can kind of see both sides of it here, but I think it's safe to say that Roma Dunze is probably the odd man out for this year.
Barring
an injury.
Yep. But I still think he's going to be an electric talent down the line.
Yeah.
But another thing Keenan Allen does have a little bit over DJ Moore's the size too. I mean, you got to think he's a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
So, I mean, down the red zone, maybe that matters. So, But I still think DJ Moore is going to have a great year.
Yeah, I think both. I think both will be wide receiver 2s, and maybe one can be a wide receiver 1. We'll see.
Like one could get in that back end.
Yeah, the back end. I mean, probably, you know, depending on touchdowns. But it's going to be a fun offense.
For sure. Well, we're going to go to the one of the teams in the NFC North now that wasn't sexy, that didn't do much, but it's my Jordan Loves, Green Bay Packers. They bring in more offensive line help. They bring in defense. But the big thing here is Marshall and Lloyd. They bring in, as far as from fantasy expectations and relevance goes, kind of a bummer to see him land here. I mean, unfortunately, you know, that kind of killed Marshall and Lloyd a little bit for me, unless you have Josh Jacobs. I mean, and I don't mind him as a high-end handcuff. I mean, if you can get him in the right spot, but it's just kind of like it come up a little bit flat, right? We were hoping to see him like with the Giants or somewhere where he could get an opportunity. But how do you guys feel about Green Bay's day? We won't spend a lot of time on them. They're not a real fantasy relevance, but how do you feel about Marshall and Lloyd in the Green Bay offense? I do like the fact they brought in some more offensive line help for Jordan Love. That ain't a bad thing.
No. No, it's not a bad thing at all. It does suck for Marshall and Lloyd. I know there's been a lot of tweets out there that they could absolutely get out from underneath Josh Jacobs, even after a year. I don't think that happens. I don't. I think he's just probably going to be the handcuff there and an upgrade at that. I mean, look at A.J. Dillon. He hasn't done anything. So
yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, Dillon's got his opportunities. I mean, they have showed that.
Yeah.
I mean, Dillon shouldn't have. I mean, don't attack me, Ty. Dillon got unwarranted.
Like,
yeah, A.J. Dillon got unwarranted opportunities half the time.
He did. They want to run two backs.
Exactly. I mean, so it might not be a bad situation. Yeah, Ty's head shot up. I thought I was going to get stabbed. That's not what I meant. I didn't mean Dillon ran good. I'm just saying that.
You're absolutely right, though, man. I mean, they did this, you know, with, I'm thinking of
Amon Green.
Yeah. Who was?
No, Jamal Williams.
No, Aaron Jones. Jones. They had Aaron Jones. They draft Dillon in the second round, so it's a death sentence.
Yeah, but look, I mean, they did it with Jamal Williams.
They did it with AJ Dillon. That's what I'm saying. Like, you go clean back. I don't know what Amon Green stuck to my head. That's old school, man. But yeah, it might not be as bad as what we think, but it's still not good.
Right.
Like, if he's in the mid third round, I'm taking him. But there's still guys like, obviously get my ranks up. Like, me personally, I'd still take Ray Davis ahead of him.
Yeah.
I don't know if we can all agree on that.
Oh, we can.
Yeah.
Jalen Wright, Jalen I would Wright. Take, which we'll get to him. So he kind of, like, pre-draft, I think he was my running back 4. Post-draft, he's probably going to be right around that 7.
I have him at 6.
6, yeah. I'm probably right around 6 or 7. I got to, you know, get all the names in, but
this,
yeah.
This draft was rough for running backs and landing spots, but I will say this does kill A.J. Dillon, finally. I mean, because Marshawn Lloyd's a better back. It's clear cut. But are you happy, Ty, that A.J. Dillon's going to get replaced probably here?
Yeah, he needs to go. We've seen enough.
Quadzilla.
He's horrible.
I wasn't a big fan of him. Even in college,
and then Braylon Allen's the Jets version of AJ Dillon. We'll get into that later, but as far as Green Bay goes, really don't consider them a loser or a winner. They're kind of just like they did what they had to do here.
So like, let's try to give these teams grades too. So like, for me with Chicago, I'd probably give them like
an A.
Green Bay here. I mean, they got some line help, but that Jordan Morgan pick kind of was strange. I'd probably give him like a C.
I was going to say B minus.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, B minus.
Yeah.
I'll give him a C plus.
I'll give him a C.
There we go.
But that was a little bit, you know, but obviously I'm not a scout, so maybe the guy is better than what we think.
For sure. Well, we're going to go over to the other sexy team in the NFC North as far as adding fantasy assets. It's going to be the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, they come in here. They get J.J. McCarthy. They didn't have to trade up. He kind of just fell right into their laps pretty much. We thought they'd have to make this hellacious move from 11 the whole way up to the top 3. They don't have to do that. They get J.J. McCarthy, and he's coming into an offense where we have Justin Jefferson, obviously, Jordan Addison, Aaron Jones now added free agency. T.J. Hockenson will be there, but he's hurt currently. Probably won't be around week 10 until we see him roughly. But how do you guys feel about Minnesota now with J.J. McCarthy? I know we said pre-draft, like, if it is Minnesota, this is probably the best spot for him. But how do you feel about Minnesota's day overall as a draft? And how do you feel about this team as far as fantasy football goes going forward with J.J. McCarthy?
Ty, I want you to kind of talk about this one first, because I think I don't know about how everybody else feels, but I know you kind of feel strongly like, you weren't a big McCarthy fan coming into this, but you do really like the spot.
Oh, absolutely. I liked really the spot for anybody. And, you know, I'm not a big Jaden Daniels fan, but I would really like the spot for him. For me, J.J. McCarthy, if he's going to succeed, this had to be the spot for him, which he got it. What concerns me was, though, is I think they were in panic mode to get a quarterback, because I heard like crazy they were trying to trade up the three to get Drake May.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this was kind of like their plan B. Mm-hmm. I don't think they were like overly excited about it. I just think that they are trying to please Justin Jefferson and get him a quarterback, honestly. Mm-hmm. So
I do too.
I don't think he's a scrub by any means, they're thinking, but I don't think this is the guy they really wanted. It's just more keeping JJ happy. But yeah, he needed to go here to be successful. But the thing that scares me about JJ McCarthy is he's a guy that I don't think has ever had to get the ball. Someone hands him the ball and says, go win us this game. He's a game manager guy. He's always played on a really good football team with good defenses through high school, through college. Now in the NFL, he's going to have to win games on his own, and I just don't know if he can do that.
I 100% agree, and that's why I think Minnesota, like for fantasy, could be a good spot, but it might be bad for McCarthy just because this defense is bad.
Yeah.
I'm like you, man. Going to Michigan, look at the weapons. Like, the defense was good. The line was good. Like, yeah, he's got Justin Jefferson, which, I mean, is absolutely amazing. But I haven't seen McCarthy, like you said, win it by himself.
Yeah.
It's been a run game. Like, I mean, look at the Washington game in the national championship.
Yep.
I mean, he does make third down plays, but I've seen third and long, and he runs it.
Yeah.
They're just, I don't know. Like, there's just not enough that we know about. I think this is going to be ugly for Minnesota. I can see Justin Jefferson throwing a fit if he doesn't get the ball, and rightfully so. This guy's on pace to break records and records, like, and get all this money. I think Minnesota's going to be an absolute dumpster fire. Like, I think it could get really ugly there, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree, man. It could definitely get ugly. And my thing is, like, what do we think with Sam Darnold? Like, he's going to play instantly. Do you agree with that? I mean,
I think he should, but it's a little bit scary because if Sam Darnold does, like, say, beat him out, dude, that ain't good. Like, we know what Sam Darnold is. Like, I don't know, man. I'm a little bit worried. Like, I do think this is a good spot, like I said, for fantasy, but this could really blow up in his face because I am very worried just about the whole team structure.
And I think the key is, like, can J.J. McCarthy – I don't ever see him being elite. Like, I think – Can you be, like
– I think he's Brock Purdy, but look at – but, like, Brock Purdy's surrounded by a good defense.
Right.
Good coach. And I think Kevin O'Connell's a great coach.
Right.
But a hard offense to learn as well. Hard offense to learn.
Could you put yourself, though, like – I think your best case, J.J. McCarthy, if you draft him, can he put himself, like, in the Jared Goff tier? Like, I think that's as high as he'll ever get.
Yeah, man. And he's getting taken over Drake May in drafts in a minute. And I just can't do that. Like, I mean, I'm not, you know, obviously Drake May is my third. But, like, there's a clear tier for me with Drake May and J.J. McCarthy, like, personally. And a very big tier.
So,
I would almost rather just gamble getting a Penix later than overdrafting a McCarthy in the top five.
Like, yeah.
So, okay, last question I'm going to ask about J.J. McCarthy. I'll ask you all, highest he'll ever finish in Dynasty Fantasy Football quarterback rankings, and I'm going to start with Moss. Moss, like, what's the ceiling? What do you think?
14.
Okay, Ty? Yeah.
So I'm going to say, like, 17.
Yeah. I was going to say 16, and?
I was not even shitting you. I was thinking, like, 16 as well.
Yeah,
like,
that's the number that just popped into my head.
Like, and I'm not saying that's horrible, like, but dude, like, I can see Drake May, like, if everything comes together years down the line, like, I can still see him being a top 10 guy, like, sneaking in there.
Right.
He could also bust. So could Jaden Daniels. But, like, there's a clear tier where these upside. Same thing with Michael Penix. Like, I'm not the biggest Michael Penix fan. We'll get to that. It was a bad pick. But that dude can throw a deep ball, and he has weapons around him.
Absolutely does. And then the overall draft grade for Minnesota. I did like the Dallas Turner pick.
Yeah, they got a steal on him there.
They did, but how do you guys feel about their overall draft grade? I'm gonna say B. I mean they did get their quarterback. I did like the Dallas Turner pick, and then all the other picks they made were kind of just, you know, kind of some stuff trying to fill holes.
I'd probably give him a C as well. I think Dallas Turner was a really good pick where they got him. They didn't really have a lot of picks.
Right.
I'm like Ty, though. I don't think McCarthy was plan A. I think it was plan B.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And I think they kind of settled for something to make somebody happy.
Yep.
Justin Jefferson, whoever.
New England wasn't coming off Drake May.
No. I think that. They were stuck, really stuck on there. So, to me, like I said, I'd go into the Atlanta pick. I don't agree with it, but hey, good for them. They got their guy, I guess. You got to go up and get your guy, and I think Drake May there would have made a lot more sense.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Right. So, Ty, Moss, how do you feel about Vikings grade?
Yeah, it's basically right in the middle. I'll go C also.
Let me go back to the well of C+.
See, Minnesota, yeah. You got to – everyone in Minnesota, I gave you guys a B. I mean, at least be my fan. Come over to me.
I like Dallas, but, the big thing with him is, besides Will Anderson, a lot of these Alabama edge rushers have been a bit disappointing.
That is true. Yeah. That is true. But we're going to go over to the last team in the NFC North, and there isn't much to talk about. All I got to say is Dan Campbell. The Detroit Lions, this was the most Dan Campbell draft ever. The one thing I will say is not a lot of fantasy relevance here, but he did take a running back and a safety in the fourth round. Did you guys see this?
I heard they take a running back.
It was Sione Vaki. He's from Utah. He plays on... I'm not even kidding you. He plays on both sides of the ball. He's a safety and a running back.
That's a great special teams guy.
I said, that is a Dan Campbell pick. But I will say this, man. Outside of that, there's really no... And there's really not fantasy relevance there, but there's really no fantasy relevance. This was all defense. But Dan couldn't help himself. He had to get someone that plays running back in this draft. And last thing I'll say... They all wore the Dan Campbell jerseys. Did you guys see that? The black and blue?
Yeah.
I'm like, that is badass.
That's awesome. I liked his last pick, that guard from Boston College. He's a mammoth. He's like 6'9" or something. He's a big boy.
Yeah, Christian Mahogany. Yeah.
Yeah. So as soon as they drafted him, I was like, yep, that is a Dan Campbell pick.
Ride the lightning. But, yeah, I mean, let's just talk about the Lions overall grade. I think that they did what they needed to do. They got all the skill positions pretty much in place on their team. Yeah. Mm-hmm. As far as an NFL perspective, I just give them a B. They got what they needed, tried to get – and they really went corner quite a bit early, and they needed that.
Terrion Arnold, I think, was a good pick. They really struggled in the secondary, so – I really, really like that pick. And I believe they traded up for him, too. I think they traded up. I can't remember. But either way, I know they drafted a couple corners. I thought that was a nice pick. And, I'd probably give them the B. They definitely needed some defense. So, last year they kind of surprised us with Gibbs. You know, even Laporta going high, and obviously it paid off. But, they kind of zig while everybody else zags. Like, it's a very offensive heavy draft, so they ended up finding a little bit of value here on defense later on.
I agree. So Ann goes B, you guys. What are you going for Dan Campbell and the boys?
Yeah, I mean, I think they did what they needed to do. Their defense was obviously struggling. It wasn't an offensive problem, so I think they did what they needed to do. I'll actually go like A-.
All right. Yeah, really, a lot of love for Dan there.
I'll have to agree with you, Moss. I'm going to go with an A- too. They filled the biggest gap they needed in corner. Their first two picks, they go corner.
So yeah.
Straight NFL perspective, they're a winner.
You know? Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
but we're going to go now. We're going to head down to the NFC South. We're going to cruise into the NFC South. We're going to start with the New Orleans Saints. Not really a lot of fantasy relevance here. They did get Bub Means later in the draft. And then, they picked quarterback one, Spencer Rattler, in round 5, the Rattlesnake landing in New Orleans.
A lot of people thought he'd be a third. There's just no way. We didn't really like him, man. Yeah.
But, looking at New Orleans, I can say this right away. We were expecting a wide receiver, too. We heard a lot of things about Roman Wilson, different people like that. The Saints didn't even go with a wide receiver to Bub Means, who's unimpressive, in my opinion. Right. So I think the Saints did a horrible job. I mean, they did get Funga there at the tackle position in the first round, but nothing really fantasy relevance. I mean, but Colway McKinstry, good football player. But they didn't have a ton of picks either. I mean, they had a first and a second rounder, and they weren't up again to the fifth round.
Yeah.
So... they must not have thought receivers a big, big need. But what can you expect out of this offense with Derek Carr? I mean, of course you get a little offensive line help. It's not a bad thing. But they didn't bring in another weapon. I mean, how do you feel about this?
I mean, yeah, you wish they would. They really needed O-line help. And I'm kind of blanking on who they took in the first round.
Funga.
Fuega, yeah.
Yeah, I think that was a really good pick for them. Really good for the run game as well.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. I think they're going to try to run the ball some and just, you know, get Olave in one-on-one situations. And I think that's actually really good for a football standpoint.
Yeah, then I didn't realize they took that Kool-Aid McKinley, too.
McKinstry. That was a good pick for them, man. That was a good value. But, boy, they really need another receiver on the outside. All they got's Olave. I mean, I'm not an A.T. Perry guy.
No.
I mean, I don't think he's anything special.
Michael Thomas is still there. Well, I mean, he hasn't done nothing. He's always hurt, but trying to think if they brought anybody else in. I thought they brought in somebody that was okay, but
I mean,
it's nobody, obviously, that we're like, oh, yeah.
Let me look on Sleeper. I don't think.
So, overall draft grade for New Orleans, we weren't going to spend a lot of time on them.
C+.
Yeah,
I think they did. Hey, you know what? Give them B-.
I'm going to go C, Ty.
B.
My Saints?
Yeah, I'll go like a B-. Like, I think they did a lot of good football moves, but not a lot of good fantasy moves.
So, my opinion, the last thing I want to ask you guys about the Saints is, do we think we see ever Spencer Rattler at all?
I mean, there's a possibility. I just think he's a backup, man. Like, if you can maybe even use this to get Derek Carr really low, I think I would. And I'm not a Derek Carr fan, but it is his first year in there. I got to look at the contract because they did pay him, but I don't know when the out is or anything.
Right. I mean, I think if you see him, I think it'll be injury related. He's not going to win out the job.
He was so good in high school, and he just hasn't done jack shit.
He hasn't done diddly poo.
Someone we weren't high on at all. So
no, I was. You know, Spencer Rattler coming into this whole process, like, oh yeah, like I was really excited. Boy, was I let down. I just was let down.
Didn't the Saints pick up Sam Hartman, too?
I don't know.
Probably.
I think they picked him up as a
couple QB1 show.
I think it was them.
Maybe they're going to make a new show down there in New Orleans.
Maybe.
Backup quarterback.
I got to Google that. I know you just got picked up. I was like, oh, yeah, there he goes.
But when I was listening to, XM whenever this was going on, and that's something they said. They thought maybe Michael Pratt would be the pick there because he's just right in their backyard.
Like, right,
that's
Tulane.
Even where the combine was. And, you know, I don't even think Michael Pratt was drafted. Another guy we weren't really as high on.
I was wrong as the Commanders.
Yeah, Michael Pratt was drafted. He went to Green Bay.
Oh, he went to Green Bay.
Late. Okay. Yeah, super late. But we're going to go over to the next team here. It's going to be the Carolina Panthers. You want to talk about fantasy relevance? They got a lot of these guys, and they did exactly what we've said they were going to do. We've said it show after show. They're going to draft Xavier Leggett, and that's exactly who they got the first round. Mm. Let's just start there with Carolina. How do you feel about Xavier Leggett in this offense?
Not very good. Not very good. And he is wide receiver 9 in my ranks, just basically off pure of they got to try to justify the pick. And, I mean, really, Deontay Johnson's probably going to be on the other side. Xavier Leggett's probably going to be their ex. And they have missed, and missed. Maybe it changes. I do think, like, athletically, Leggett, like, he is a beast. That's the same thing with Jonathan Mingo, man. Like, Didn't really love Jonathan Mingo's tape. And then it's like, well, he's a good athlete. So maybe I'm falling into trap
again.
Same
with Mingo. We didn't really like Mingo either.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, I think we were kind of lower than he got all that hype, and we were like, oh, we don't see it. But.
Yeah, man. Like, I don't know. This was the pick of all picks that we've been saying for months. I'm not going to have any Leggett because where he goes off the board is like, you know, his teammate now, Jonathan Brooks or Trey Benson. Like, I'd rather gamble, you know.
On one of them guys.
On one of them guys or Ladd McConkey, like.
Way more Ladd McConkey.
Oh, yeah. Like, Ladd McConkey and Xavier Leggett, it's not even close for me.
And the Xavier Leggett in this offense is a nightmare because, like, this is not his type of quarterback in Bryce Young either. Bryce Young's not a guy that's going to chuck it way downfield. That's Leggett's game.
Yeah, he's a downfield guy.
Yeah, man. And that's where, like, I'm a little bit nervous because I think I would have felt better if he'd be in the slot a little bit, too, try to get his wheels under him.
Right.
But, yeah, bad landing spot for Leggett, but hopefully he can, overcome it. A guy hasn't produced, like, the first 4 years in college or something.
Yep.
Or the 3 years and his fourth year he broke. I don't know. But, yeah, not good.
Yep. And we're going to hop into the next pick, and you brought it up, Jonathan Brooks going into the second round to the Panthers.
Absolutely love it.
We said he was our running back one. We said he's probably going off the board first. I mean, just seeing what we've seen, and he ends up here in the second round to Carolina.
Another guy they traded up for, too. They traded up for Leggett and Brooks. The GM office here, dude. Oh, man. I feel bad if you're a Carolina fan. I do feel bad.
Even Luke Combs is calling them out.
Really?
Yeah, because Luke Combs, I guess, is a big
Panther fan.
Panther fan.
Dude, they need to do something different. Like, and I love Jonathan Brooks here, but, like, you need a lot of different stuff.
And let's talk about, like, Jonathan Brooks in this offense. Jonathan Brooks in general. Like, we said, like, it's not going to be 2024. And, you know, we keep hearing reports, all the knee's going to be ready for training camp. It isn't going to be. It never is. Yeah. I mean, it just isn't. Don't rush it. I mean, if you pick him, you're getting the best back in this class. Yeah, you might have to wait a year, but you're getting the best running back in a bad running back class.
Yeah.
In an offense, like you said, where Dave Canales loves to run the ball.
Yeah, he loves to run the ball. I mean, Rashad White had like a 77% snap share last year under Canales and finished as like running back 4. I definitely think that's in the range of outcomes for Jonathan Brooks. Like TJ said, maybe not this year or next, but maybe next year. Miles Sanders is on the last year of his deal. I think if Brooks' injury, like, I'm like you, I don't, they always say like, oh, they'll be ready for camp. We'll see. But if he is ready for camp and out there, I could see a Miles Sanders trade.
Yeah.
Trying to get out from under that contract and just somebody. Dude, there's always a back that goes down, like, you know, camp-wise.
Or they just cut him, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that could happen, too. Maybe they just eat so much dead cap money because we know how Carolina is. They're not a top-tier team yet. So they could afford to do that in a way.
And I think they're going to want to run the ball here to try to help, you know, Bryce Young kind of just get himself together, compose himself. So, and they also brought in Robert Hunt and Damian Lewis.
Yep.
So he spent like $150 million on guards to help protect Bryce Young and run the football.
Yep.
So.
Yep, for sure. So I love the Jonathan Brooks spot. We all do. We thought he'd be the best back in this class and as far as being drafted first, and he was. Just have to be a little patient. But we're going to go to the last fantasy-relevant pick here for Carolina. Jatavion Sanders landing here in the fourth round. A lot of people were thinking he was going to get better cap on that. I mean, we kind of all said it's not. We wouldn't be surprised if he was picked higher. And he was.
Yeah.
So, but Jatavion lands here. We're in a team that needs a tight end. How do you guys feel about this?
The opportunity is going to be there. I mean, they have literally nothing else unless they brought somebody in that's blanking to me. I can't think. But, I mean, I think Jatavion Sanders is a fine football player. I think where they got him here in the fourth round is that's probably one of their better picks, honestly. I mean,
yeah, I can agree with that for sure.
And I like going back to Jonathan Brooks. Love Jonathan Brooks. I just don't know, like, if Carolina's in that luxury of trading up again for a running back.
right.
They're just giving up capital, dude. Like,
yeah.
You're giving away lottery tickets.
So I think an overall consensus of how we feel about Carolina is we like the Jonathan Brooks landing spot and pick. We like the Jatavion Sanders. Where they got him in the fourth round ain't bad.
Yeah, and he's somebody, like, if I need a tight end, if he's in your rookie drafts in, like, the late third round, I'm okay.
Yeah.
Other than that.
Yeah, don't overdraft him. But like we've always said, tight ends are a scheme thing.
Yeah,
like, dude. He could take off or he could.
I mean, right.
Well, and I think the big thing here is, like, I don't see this offense being great, but I think it will improve with Dave Canales.
I do, too.
And we've said that. Like, I think it will be a little bit better. I don't expect a ton out of Xavier Legette. I think if you're an Xavier Legette fan, this is the worst landing spot you could ask for. And we kind of knew it was coming. But overall, consensus on Carolina, how you guys feel grade-wise on their draft?
F.
I was gonna say D minus to be a little bit nice, but D minus. Ty, how do you feel?
Yeah, I'd say F too. I mean, they're the only team really in that draft to have no reason to be trading up, and they do it what, two or three times. So they should have took a play out of Arizona's playbook and just kept
yeah,
getting picks, kept trading back. If they didn't want their guy, if they didn't have a guy that they wanted, they traded back, got more picks. So
yeah, yep. Moss, how do you feel?
I'd say a D. Yeah, I agree. I agree with Ty.
I mean, just because we like the fantasy relevance of some of these players as far as an NFL perspective and what they did, it wasn't great.
Mm-mm.
I mean, it just wasn't great. And we knew it was going to be Xavier Legette. What a disaster. And I even was ranting about it on the live show. Like, I knew it. It was coming.
Yep.
We thought TJ was going to flip the table.
I thought about it.
Is there so what's the latest, like, you would take Legette? Because, like I said, I have him as my wide receiver 9. So I think I'm a bit higher than you guys, but, like, I don't feel good about it.
I would take him maybe 206, 208.
Yeah, right around there.
If he fell there.
And that's the thing. Like, he's my wide receiver 9. But, again, he falls into that category. Like, I'd rather take Jonathan Brooks. I'd rather take
Jalen Polk.
Yeah, I'd rather take Jalen Polk, honestly. Like, I just don't have a lot of faith in it.
No, me either. Me either. I think it gets better, but I don't think they're going to set the world on fire. But no. We're going to go over to another NFC South team here, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Really didn't do too much of fantasy relevance, but they did bring in Jalen McMillan in the third round, which we do like. And honestly, that fits a role in their slot. I mean, I see Jalen McMillan getting that slot job. How do you guys feel about Jalen McMillan landing in Tampa Bay here?
Yeah, I like it, man. I mean, unfortunately, must one of your Trey Palmer, like, I don't know. Yeah. And I did not expect this.
I didn't either.
I figured Trey Palmer was actually pretty, but you got Trey Palmer for, what, a fifth-round pick?
Yeah.
Off your waiver wire? I don't know. I think this was really good value, and I think a little bit of the reason why McMillan fell was just the injury.
Yeah.
Like, he was hurt, missed some games, but if you go back 2 years ago, he looked really, really good. And then, you know, go on to their first-round pick and Graham Barton.
That was a good pick.
That was a really good pick. I think this really helps the run game and Rashad White or Bunky Irving.
We'll get into that. But, I mean, Jalen McMillan, to me, I love the film. They have a need at the slot position. He's a slot-type receiver.
Yeah, yeah. Godwin's getting a little bit older. Obviously, Evans is a little bit older. They did pay Evans, so... Yeah, this kind of helps just, you know, helps that pass game out.
And we said it, we liked all three Washington receivers.
Yeah.
You know, and McMillan gets third-round capital. We kind of figured he'd be right in here.
Yeah.
So, not surprised. And
what number does Godwin wear? He wears 14, doesn't he?
Pretty sure.
Maybe he could be the Steelers.
Oh.
That'd be wild.
I seen a name. He was a name that was brought
Yeah,
up.
There's a name that, you know. He's a Penn State guy.
Yeah, ex-Penn State guy.
I just put that together. Maybe they're
putting the puzzle together here on Dynasty DNA.
Yeah, riddle solved.
Jimmy really liked the Chris Braswell pick.
Oh, I'm sure.
He kept bringing him up the whole night.
Jimmy appreciates a good edge.
Yeah, he does. A good edge and a good guard.
He kept saying, man, I can't believe Braswell's still there, man. That's great value.
Yeah, kept hearing about it. But Jalen McMillan... Really like the player, really like the landing spot.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for him. I would easily draft him anywhere, third round in my rookie draft if I have a needed receiver, depending on who's there. Mm-hmm. But I really like it. Good player. We're going to go over to the fourth round pick. This is the one here that it's like, wow, just what a waste of a pick. But we'll talk about it. Bucky Irving, pick four, around four, pick 125, going to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Everyone, lock the doors. Your Rashad White shares are not safe.
Yeah.
A lot of people believe that.
Sell for any second. No.
Well, that's what I was saying. Like, you know, sell them and then buy them back.
Sell them and buy them. Yeah.
I mean, it's stupid, guys. If you have Rashad White, don't sell him. Bucky Irving is not going to hurt him. This is a guy that we talked about. We figured they bring somebody in. They brought Bucky Irving in. He's not going to threaten Rashad White's job. I think Rashad White's now going to be one of your better offseason buys because of this. I mean, everyone might not feel that way, but it seems like the Dynasty community just cannot wait to supplant Rashad White with somebody for whatever reason.
And then a lot of the fantasy community does like Bucky Irving. I mean, I didn't hate the tape, but, like, I didn't love it. Like I can think we're definitely down more than consensus on Bucky Irving. It's kind of weird, dude, because, like, what's Rashad White, Bucky Irving, and Chase Edmonds good at? They're all pass-catching running backs.
Right.
They don't have anybody that's, like, really, really good between the tackles.
Right.
A lot of people think Bucky Irving is, but a lot of the tackles that he broke were mainly, like, safeties corners.
Yeah. And see, though, this is why I feel like this. Like, to me, they're drafting the same. Like, Rashad White's clearly the better back, but they're drafting like a similar style. Like, okay, if Rashad White gets hurt, can we plug and play Irving and Edmonds?
Yeah.
You know, into that style offense.
Yeah, because the workload he gets, injury could happen.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. So I know personally, I'm not afraid of Bucky Irving.
No.
And if I have Rashad White, I'm not panicking. And if anything, if I can go out and get him for a late first, I'm still doing it. I have no problem with it.
I don't know if I would in this class because then we're looking around like Jonathan Brooks. Yeah. I think I would take Jonathan Brooks. But Trey Benson and him, who would you guys rather have?
Oh, I'd rather have White.
I would rather have White, too. So I think that's... So yeah.
It depends, though. If you're win now, you want Rashad White. I mean, like, if you have a chance to win the Super Bowl, I would probably... Because Brooks, we talked about. If Brooks is healthy, I would have no problem with it. But I think he's going to take till 2025, unfortunately.
Yeah, he probably could. It's just hard for me to to do that.
Yeah, it's all about preference. But Tampa Bay overall grades on their draft, I give them a B. I think they did pretty well.
I mean,
come away with a lot of their NFL needs. And, I say Rashad White's a winner, in my opinion. I don't think he's been threatened at all. So how do you guys feel about Tampa Bay's grade? I give him a B.
Yeah, I'd give him a B as well. And I'm like you. I think he's definitely a winner out of this, getting Graham Barton. I think that really helps this offensive line. And, you know, we could see Tampa Bay kind of continue to, you know, put up another good season, in my opinion.
Yep. They have a good chance to win this division. I mean, especially maybe with Atlanta with a little controversy, maybe.
Yeah.
They still got a good club. Ty, how do you feel about Tampa Bay's grade? What do you give them?
Yeah, I'm a little higher. I'll give them an A-. I like their first four picks, so I think a lot of spots.
Yeah, Tyreek Smith was a good pick, too. They needed another safety.
Did well. How do you feel, Moss?
I would go B+. Yeah. So I think they filled their football needs.
Yep. Mm-hmm. We're all happy with the Buccaneers and what they did. But we're going to hop over to the last team, and it's a team that we knew was going to throw a shocker in. They always do. It's always offense in the first seven picks. Even if they don't need it, they still draft it. It's the Atlanta Falcons. We'll just start with Michael Penix, the first pick of top 10 for them. I mean, we kind of did not see this coming at all. I mean, we kind of said, okay, maybe Penix and Nix will get into the first round, middle, back end. But, boy, the fact that he was taken inside the top 10 here by the Falcons. What do you guys feel about this for Atlanta and Michael Penix?
So, I don't think Michael Penix, in my opinion, now, obviously, there are scouts out there that are better than us. Maybe some that aren't. No, but in all reality, I was really surprised he was a first-round pick. There was rumors, though, that the Raiders wanted to trade up. I think there's another team. I don't know if it was the Rams. I think there's a couple teams that really wanted to trade up for Michael Penix.
Yeah.
So, and that's something we got to remember. He went ahead of J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah.
Like, they could have taken J.J. McCarthy, and they felt really good about Michael Penix. So,
well, that's the thing. I think if you take the age and injury history out of Michael Penix, I think he's a hell of a quarterback.
I do, too. Yeah.
But you can't ignore that stuff. No. But if you do ignore that, then it's like he's – I agree with you. Like,
and what's one thing we all said about Michael Penix? Yes, he's old, but he's a bit raw.
Yeah. Right.
So now he's going to get a time to sit behind Kirk Cousins for 1 year. We all looked at this contract live. Kirk Cousins' deal is very top-heavy, so they could get out as early as next year. Things could not go good this year for Kirk Cousins, so something to keep in the back of your mind, because this guy is slipping a lot. Like, you know, I recently drafted him at 112, but I've also drafted him at 2-2, 2-3, and I've seen the other day that he fell to, like, 2-5, 2-6.
And if I'm picking 112, I love that, because in a super flex league, you just won your championship, obviously. You're sitting there. I mean, you can afford to do this. And how, like Musk said, how often can you get a top 10 quarterback at pick 12 in your super flex league?
We got a little bit of breaking news. So this goes what Ty was saying. This is from Sleeper. The Vikings offered the Patriots 11, 23, and a 25 first for the number 3 pick, and they didn't do it.
Wow.
That was plan B, just like you said, Ty.
Shows you how much they thought of Drake May.
Yeah.
New England.
Yeah.
To hold there. But, yeah, like I said, I mean, Atlanta, like going back to Michael Penix, if you're picking 112 in your rookie super flex drafts, I mean, that's a steal getting him at 112, in my opinion. I mean, because you can afford to wait.
Yeah.
You're a good team. And you can backfill a quarterback position. It's hard to do that.
And sometimes these picks, man, like this is how I'm going to finish this. You guys remember Jalen Hurts going the second round to the Eagles, and everybody said it's a horrible pick. They have Carson Wentz.
Never know.
Okay, I'm not saying he's Jalen Hurts. Yeah. I'm just saying sometimes we look at these picks and laugh. That wasn't the 8th overall pick,
right?
But I'm just saying, like, sometimes they don't make sense to us, but they end up working out.
Yep, they definitely do. And, you know, obviously Atlanta's seen something they liked in Penix. Overall, like I said, the way they set this up, though, you were hoping that they would add defense or offensive line.
They really
line.
Need a D.
I mean, so like you said, it's hard to justify this high.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we do all can agree Penix is a talent if he can stay healthy. And really, if you're a Penix fan, this works out good. I mean, he can get healthy. He can sit behind Kirk Cousins, and we can see what we can do with it. But I have no problem drafting him at 112. I think that's great. You know, if you're sitting back there, that's a good value.
Yeah.
So how do you guys feel about the Falcons' grade overall? That's a really, surprisingly, that's the only offensive move they made. I'm surprised they didn't bring in another tight end or
something else. They brought in like McClellan late and then Casey Washington. I don't even know who the hell that is.
Yeah, it's nothing. Special teams. Special team. But how do you guys feel about their draft grade overall after draft night?
Oh, I want to say F, but I'm going to give them a D minus. just because like I said, this could be a situation where Penix works out and they look like a genius.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, they're just kind of burning money, so.
They're turning into the new Raiders. I'm going to give them an F. I mean, I think, like you said, it could work out and it could be really good for them. And if it does, it will all have egg on our face. But,
boy,
the way you set this team up, you're kind of in win now mode.
Then they traded it up for that I don't know a lot, you know, some of these guys, but that was one that I was a little bit surprised.
Yeah. He's a third round prospect, and they took him at the beginning of the second round.
Yeah.
Traded up for him.
Yeah, too. Give him an F. Yeah.
Ty, how do you feel?
Can I give an F minus?
Yeah.
What a nightmare.
That was funny though. That was funny seeing everyone's reactions. Moss, how do you feel?
Yeah, same. I'll go an F. I don't think they did anything to really help them.
Last question with Lana before we move on. And Andy said this: we're going to see Michael Penix. When do you guys think that time is?
I think that's to be determined. Just because like there's a couple questions. Is Kirk Cousins, you know, process not going well, and nobody knows? They're not going to show their hand. Is that not going good? Is he going to be ready for week one? I don't know. I don't think anybody knows. I mean, that's yet to be determined. If he is and he struggles, probably going to see him by midseason.
Yeah. So
they got to justify this pick. People's jobs are on the line for this pick.
And I think Kirk Cousins is a loser out of this just because the heat's on, man. And how do we feel about the Achilles injury? Like, is it going bad? Like, that's the stuff we don't know. You know,
I don't know what his value would be in a super flex league, but I would be scared to have him. I mean, it's probably not high.
Right.
I mean, would you buy for a third? That's probably what you're selling for. And I don't know if I want to buy or sell.
Yeah, it could be on the very edge. It's a teeter-totter.
It definitely is. I mean, with him being so old, I know. I don't know if I can justify paying a third, because if it's not good, is he going to go somewhere else in 2 years and do anything?
Just done.
Yeah, and Kirk Cousins, we've seen him bounce around.
Yeah.
But, I had to bring that up. I mean, if you do have Kirk Cousins, it is concerning.
But I don't know which foot, you know, or leg everything's on here, because that's the one thing. Like, we're all worried about Kirk Cousins, but nothing's really being said about Aaron Rodgers. Like,
right.
He's older than Kirk Cousins. He might be garbage now.
Well, like I saw that there's two different legs.
There are two. I remember it was you that said, okay, yeah, two different legs.
It's Kirk Cousins' drive leg, which that's what that doctor said. He said that's kind of dangerous because that's where all your power comes from.
Okay.
He said Aaron Rodgers, if you're going to tear an Achilles in a leg, it's that leg that you want to tear it, because there's not much coming off that leg.
Okay. So, and that's probably why. Probably why.
And how do we feel about Drake London now? I mean, because, you know, that was something that, you know, he was getting all kinds of hype, and I mean,
I think he's okay, like, with Penix, but at the same time, he's going to probably disappoint again, because if it is Penix as a rookie quarterback, and we just don't know.
Yeah.
Just don't know.
A lot of questions in Atlanta right now.
Yeah, it seems so good, but okay. I think the winner out of all this is probably Bijan.
Yeah, the Falcons are going to Falcon.
Yeah, that's a good point.
They did it. We're going to go over to the NFC East, and we're going to start with a team that really didn't do nothing for fantasy relevance, so we're not going to spend a lot of time on them. The Dallas Cowboys. I think Carolina broke their heart when they took Jonathan Brooks. I think that was definitely their pick in the second round. I think that's who they were hoping to maybe get. And it just didn't come together for him that way. But Dallas, bringing in tackle, bringing in edge, you know, that's kind of mainly what they did here.
Yeah.
Which they did need some offensive line help. But we'll just talk about the Dallas offense real quick. And you and I have been talking about this and could see them taking a step back next year.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, they didn't really do anything as far as bringing in firework-type weapons. And Dak's getting a little older.
Yeah.
I mean, they've kind of had their struggles in the playoffs. Does that catch up with them? We know last year they kind of started out real slow.
Yeah.
And then the media, I think, lit a fire under Dak and he got going. But is that going to happen every year?
Yeah.
So.
Grade-wise, I'm just going to say I'll probably give them a C, because, like you said, they did fill a lot of needs. But, yeah, man, I really thought they would bring in a running back. I think Rico Dwaddle's a big winner.
Yeah, oh,
they
yeah.
just signed Zeke, but as we mentioned earlier, I think he is a big winner here. And I'm going to say another big winner, in my opinion, is probably Jake Ferguson.
Good point.
Because they didn't bring in another talent. They just have Brandon Cooks, who's starting to get a little bit older, you know, has his games. But
yeah, and Michael Gallup's even out the door.
Yeah, Michael Gallup's to the Raiders now. So
yeah, that's their type player.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, Dallas, I agree with you. I'd give them a C just on an NFL standpoint. But I am concerned about this offense next year. Like, I don't think it's going to be near what we've seen last year.
Yeah.
I could see maybe middle of the pack.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's going to be anything flashy. Ty, how you feel about Dallas?
See, yeah, it wasn't nothing impressive.
Yeah, they needed more explosive help, I feel. Moss, how do you feel?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know much about the defense and tackles, but, I mean, they addressed offensive or NFL needs, so I'll just give them a B.
All right, so we're off Dallas. Like I said, we think that their offense could take a step back. I think they're a loser, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think they needed to do more.
Yep.
We're going to go over here to Andy's second favorite team, the New York Football Giants. We'll just start here right off the hop. Malik Nabers, 106 taken in the NFL draft, landing here with the Giants. We know that the quarterback situation isn't the sexiest thing in the world. We know Nabers is kind of him-hawing around about getting a better quarterback for the Giants as opposed to Daniel Jones. But how do you guys feel about Nabers in the Giants? I know a lot of people are really upset and uptight with this landing spot. But like we said, could be better than people think.
Yeah, I think, honestly, man, Nabers is such a good yak guy. It doesn't really worry me much. I mean, yeah, of course, we would have loved to see him with the Chargers or the Cardinals. But, I mean, he's one of these guys I feel like's kind of like, I don't want to say underdrafted, because I seen him go ahead of Jaden Daniels and Drake May in a Superflex League already.
Wow.
Yeah, so, like, I don't know. I think people were either really high on him or really low. This helps. Daniel Jones is a big winner here. Big winner.
Yeah.
Because we all thought, like, could they take McCarthy? Like, it was a little bit scary.
Yeah.
McCarthy wasn't the right pick. I'm glad that they just kind of stuck it out here. Wait again. Try next year. If Daniel Jones sucks, you know, you're going to have another high pick.
I saw they can cut Daniel Jones in next January for nothing.
For nothing. So, yeah, that could easily happen. But for this year, I think he is a big winner with Nabers.
Huge winner.
Other than that, I mean, they definitely needed some more secondary help. They ended up getting Tyler Newbin. You know, solid safety. You know, Theo Johnson, I think that was a bit of a panic pick. We all said that Waller could easily, you know, be cut and or retire, and I'm seeing more rumblings about him retiring. So
Theo.
I want to say it's somewhat of a, you know, panic pick, but at the same time, like, Theo's really athletic and just a good football player. I guess he's just not really fantasy relevant. I'm not really falling into that trap.
No.
And then, you know, they grab a running back here, which I thought they could grab one a little bit earlier. Looks like Devin Singletary is going to be the guy here.
I was going to say, Devin Singletary's a big winner.
Yeah.
But the big thing is, though, no offensive line help.
I know, and that's a little bit scary. That's, you know, that's why I'd probably give him a C here. I would have liked to see him go back to the well here and try to get another offensive lineman, but
I'd give him a B minus just because I think Malik Nabers is a playmaker they needed.
Yeah, yeah, and they never invest in receivers. They get freaking Rondale Robinson, Derek, like later guys. It's like,
and they signed Kenny Golladay in free agency.
Yeah, like. Like, I don't know. And they've made so many of the right picks that just haven't worked out.
Yeah.
Yep, I agree with that. So you're not high on Theo Johnson. You mentioned him. He's another guy. Like, we know
for fantasy football, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people are kind of hyping this landing spot up for Theo.
I know. He would probably, I mean, I'd take Sanders over him still. I would take Sanot. Yeah.
Obviously, yeah. Bowers, you know, the top guys. Yeah, I'm with you. He's probably like the fourth or fifth guy in that pecking order. But, yeah, I love Malik Nabers. I think, like, what we know about Malik Nabers is he's a yak guy.
Yeah.
And, okay, yeah, he's not going to be able to make any big explosive plays maybe just because of the quarterback situation down the field.
Yeah.
But you could still get the ball in this guy's hands and let him go to work.
Yeah.
So I really like that. I think Malik Nabers is going to be just fine, and I would not pass on him for any other players. Whenever he's going right around that 104, 105 range, I would pick him easily there.
Yeah, I think there's a chance he's, you know, a top end wide receiver two this year. I think he's going to get peppered with targets.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they got nobody else.
Yeah,
yeah, he should. He definitely should. So, how do you? How high? So you say top end wide receiver two? How high are you putting him next year?
I'm going to say his ceiling for next year is like honestly like 14.
14.
Yeah,
I was going to say 17, so I'm not far off. Ty, what do you think Malik Nabers finishes at in 2024?
Just based off his yak ability, I would say 15. I'm going to say 15.
Yeah, I was actually going to say 15, too. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You and Muscles agreed on something. So Andy said he's giving the Giants a C. I'm going to give them a B minus just because, I mean, I agree. I think they need to get offensive line help.
Mm-hmm.
Disappointed they didn't do that in the later rounds.
Yeah.
But the fact that they got Malik Nabers, they needed a receiving talent like this. I'll give them a B minus. Ty, how do you feel?
Yeah, I'll give them a B, and that's just because I like how they didn't just jump on JJ McCarthy. I know. They just held off. So I think that I really like that.
Yeah, Moss?
Yeah, I'll give them a B also. I would like to see him get line, but Nabers is a great pick.
Yeah, definitely is, man. And like Andy said, Devin Singletary, big winner. I mean, we've seen him do it in multiple offenses. And we know Brian Daboll knows him from his days in Buffalo.
Yep.
So that's something to keep in mind. But we're going to go over here. You know, if you know anything about Dynasty DNA, we got so many people that are fans of this team. It's the Philadelphia Eagles. Really didn't do too much in fantasy relevance. We'll talk about Will Shipley, though. They did take him there in the fourth round. Coming in behind Saquon Barkley, going to probably compete with Kenneth Gainwell for that second running back job. How do you guys feel about Shipley landing with the Eagles?
I don't love it, but I do think he's that change of pace guy, and that's just what he is.
Yeah.
And I think he can get his hands, you know, on some receiving work here, too. So
yeah. And then
I think he is just better in Gainwell.
So do I. I was going to say that. I think he will replace Gainwell. And here's the thing, too. Anaya Smith, round five. Yeah. I think he'll try to fill that Quez Watkins-type role for them.
Yeah, he absolutely could.
And I think he's the perfect guy to do that because, like, when we watch the film, he's a guy that doesn't really do anything wrong. Like, he just isn't sexy. Like, he can do things, but he isn't sexy. But coming in there with A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith, he could fill that role nicely, I feel.
And they drafted Johnny Wilson in the sixth, so I think they are trying to find somebody to do that role, and I think that'll be your big going into camp competition, and I would probably put my money on Anaya Smith over Johnny Wilson.
So they went corner a lot. They did need corner.
Yeah, they had a great draft, like they do every year.
Yeah, I give them an A, of course. Yeah. They did a great job. But my thing is with the Eagles, okay, we'll talk a little less about the rookies because the rookies they brought in, let's be honest, they're more backup, you know, third, fourth receiver type guys. But how do you feel about the Eagles' offense next year? Like, this is a big question mark. Jalen Hurts kind of struggled last year. They do bring in Kellen Moore.
Mm-hmm.
Do we feel that we see an improvement?
I feel like, I think we see a small improvement. I mean, they do bring in Saquon Barkley. I think they're going to try to establish the run a little bit more, which, you know, a lot of people might not agree with that. But when you give, you know, a guy like Saquon that kind of money, I think you have to. And I think also, you know, with getting the deal done with A.J. Brown and you know, Devonta Smith here, kind of solidifies them. They don't have to worry about it. Like, okay, they're taken care of. They're kind of going into the season without any, like, drama.
Right.
You know, like, everybody's like, okay, we're good. What's the best way to get the best out of your employees? You pay them.
Right. Yep.
And they paid them. So these guys are going to come in. They know they're damn good. They got a damn good team. And I think Philly's going to be a Super Bowl contender again. I think they're going to take that step back. Like, they took the step back. I think they're going forward. They fired the right coaches. They're bringing in the right coaches. I love the Vic Fangio hire for the defense.
They're bringing in the right pieces.
Yeah, they're bringing in the right coaches. They're bringing in the right players. Like, Quinnen Mitchell, man, he's a good player. Cooper DeJean fell a little bit, super surprised. But, again, a great player, and he's a great special teams guy, too.
Yep. This is going to put a lot on Nick Sirianni.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it is.
Because a lot of people called for his head.
I know.
And he skated by and fired everybody else. So.
Yep. So they need to try to win, though. I will say that's the only pressure, but they're doing everything to help him win because I think Sirianni's still the right guy.
Yeah, I agree with that. In my opinion. I agree with that. So we see Philly doing better next year. I think, I'm like you, everything they've done a good job.
Yep.
I mean, they've seen their problems last year, and they're trying to address it. So I give them an A, and?
Yeah, A.
Ty?
A+.
A+ for Philly?
Yeah,
yeah. They kill it all the time with the draft. Yep. They did it again.
Yep.
So we're going to go to the last team in the NFC East. It's a team that, another one that brought in a lot of people from fantasy significance. Going to talk about this. The Washington Commanders will just start right at the top. Drafting Jaden Daniels at the second pick in the first round. How do you all feel about Jaden Daniels in this offense with Cliff Kingsbury?
I like it, man. I really do. Like, I think I really would have felt better if they would have drafted another receiver. I mean, they did get Luke McCaffrey, but I think McCaffrey still has a little bit of like just growing to do. But I love the small things that he does, so he absolutely could, you know, grow into that number two role. See if Jahan Dotson can somehow, you know, be somewhat relevant.
Make some kind of comeback.
Yeah, make anything. But, yeah, man, as far as Jaden Daniels, he remains my quarterback too. And I think we're going to see, you know, a lot of running out of him. And, you know, they bring in Sanat, who, you know, I'm not the biggest Sanat fan, probably a little bit lower than a lot of the community, but, like, still he's solid.
I think, honestly, Sanat, given the capital, given the land spot, he's my second tight end I'm taking.
He's probably my third. Yeah,
he was second for me
pre-draft. Yeah, he was second for you pre-draft. Yeah. So, yeah, he probably moves, you know, moves up for me to number three. But I do like the spot, and like you said, I mean, pick 53 overall.
Yeah, got good capital. He has a chance to really, I mean, Zach Ertz is the only other guy there.
Yeah.
I mean, we know Zach Ertz is an injury emergent, so if you're hoping any kind, Zach Ertz is a loser to me, you know, unfortunately. Yeah,
and Cole Turner, if you had any.
Any shares in him.
I think, you know, even them bringing in Eckler, I just kind of wish, like, the running back room I'm just not in love with like, Eckler on the older side. Brian Robinson's I just can't get on board, man.
Well, and two, Luke McCaffrey, we'll go to that last pick here, and we love Luke McCaffrey, got third round capital.
Yeah, I that's one I was shocked, and I did like McCaffrey, but I was like, he's probably more of a fourth or fifth round guy.
Right.
So I want to say they overdrafted him a bit, but maybe the rest of the NFL was high on him and they knew he wouldn't be there.
Well, and the thing is, too, like, he's someone, like we talked about, has to develop.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, honestly, behind Terry McLaurin, you know, and mm-hmm. Jahan Dotson, it's a nice fit, and he can work his way into the slot more.
Yeah.
You know, and I honestly think this is a great pick. I've been getting him fourth round in a lot of Dynasty rookie drafts.
That's good value.
Yeah, because he's going to get an opportunity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's the kind of guy that works hard.
Yeah.
I think he'll get work on his craft. So I really love that pick from Washington as well. But last thing I want to ask about Washington is Jaden Daniels next year. I mean, what are we expecting? Because I know Ty said this, and he said it well. Sam Howell is, from a fantasy standpoint, he's going to be a tough act to follow just because all the points he put up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, like, you might get some people that might be a little bit disappointed if it doesn't get as high. I mean, you know, you're building a franchise. It takes time.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what do you expect next year?
Out of Jaden Daniels, I think it'd be a range of outcomes, man. Like, because I could see him being really good, being a top 10 guy, but I also could see him being, like, 15.
Yeah.
So, like, if we're talking ceiling, I'll say 12. If we're talking floor, I'd say 18.
And I think that's good. I'm going to put them right around probably 16, 17, just based off of this division's tough.
Yeah, it is.
Especially for a rookie quarterback. Outside the Giants, which they are adding pieces. They got Burns to pass rush now. But, like, the Eagles defense, the Cowboys defense, you know, they're no pushovers.
Yeah.
So, could be a little bit tough from that aspect. So, I'm going to put him there. Ty, how do you think he fares in 2024?
I would say probably like maybe 19, 20.
It's tough.
I'm just not a fan of the player.
Yeah, I know you're not super fan. The division's tough too. What do you think, Moss?
Yeah, I mean his rushing floor is what's going to help him. So, yeah, I mean, I'm going to say worst case he's like 18 to 20, and then best case, he could be a quarterback one, I feel like.
Yeah, that's what 10's probably the ceiling for me, yeah. I think.
Yeah, he's not going to be like quarterback one or anything.
Yeah.
Or like quarterback five, but right, that's right. What I mean, not quarterback one. I think he could slot into a back end quarterback mm-hmm. one.
And what we know for sure is him and Caleb are the only two that are going to start day one.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
We pretty much well know that. Everyone else, I mean, there's no guarantees.
Yep.
So we'll see what happens. But we're going to come over here to the last division in the NFC. We're going to start. It's the NFC West. And we'll just start it off with the L.A. Rams. I mean, the first time they've had a first-round pick since, you know, I don't know, since dinosaurs were on the earth.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they were actually probably pretty excited for draft night for the first time in a while. Really didn't do much from fantasy relevance, but, and I'll let you take your victory lap here because in round three, they did take Blake Corum, the running back out of Michigan. He was the third running back off the board.
Yep.
And you said this, Kyron Williams is probably going to have a little bit competition. You said the GM's famous for drafting running backs, and here they did it.
Yeah.
What do you expect out of this rushing game from the Rams, and what do you think Blake Corum's impact could be next year and going forward?
I mean, it could be a little bit dicey when we first start the season. I think it could be a little bit of a split. But in my opinion, and I know Kyron Williams looked good, but he was kind of thrown into that role. I'm not saying he's completely dead, but in my opinion, from watching tape, I think Blake Corum's a better player. Watching tape, I think Blake Corum's a phenomenal player. Kyron's still a very good pass-catching back, so I think this just helps, like, you know, get the run game going, try to get Stafford on some play action. Because we all knew, too, when Kyron went down, we seen the struggles. I mean, nobody could jump into that role and even come close to even what Kyron did.
Right.
So, Kyron's a big loser out of this, I think. I think if you could have sold high or, you know, as we said, you know, tear up and get one of these guys that were much safer, like a Breece Hall or, you know, whoever, that you can't get that done today.
No, it's going to be tough, man. I mean, and you called this, and honestly, like, we're going to see Corum, you know, touch the ball.
Yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, what do you do with Kyron now? I mean, you probably have to hold.
You have to.
Can't really sell now. I mean, what are you going to get? Late second round pick, maybe a mid. If I could get a mid, depending on who's there, I would take it. But, I mean, he's going to still hold a little bit of fantasy value, but I think it's slowly slipping out of his grasp.
Yeah, and honestly, the thing is, I think you hold and sell during the season because mm-hmm. I think Kyron will still have a couple of them games.
Yeah.
And people want the points, kind of like what we talked about. Yep. So maybe you can get your best value there.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it definitely is concerning. But the Rams overall, outside of Blake Corum coming in, really didn't do much else
no.
as far as fantasy significance. They did take Jordan Whittington in the sixth round. Just probably more of a special team, Sean McVay. We even said about Jordan Whittington when we did the tape review. Not a great fantasy asset, but a good NFL asset. He's a guy who will play special teams. He's a team player.
Good character guy.
Yeah, yeah. But how do you guys feel about the Rams' first draft, having a first-round pick? What do you give them for a grade?
They really filled a lot of their defensive needs, and that's kind of what they needed. I really did like the Jared Verse pick, too. So I'd probably give them a B.
I was going to say, I'm going with the B for the Rams. Ty, how do you feel about the Rams?
Yeah, B works for me.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. I mean, they filled a lot of needs.
Yeah,
not really fantasy relevant other than Corum, really.
Yeah. So we like what the Rams did. We're going to go up to Seattle. This is another team that didn't do anything fantasy relevant, but we'll still bring it up. We're doing it for all the teams, mainly going for offensive line and defense. They did bring in A.J. Barner in the fourth round, tight end for Michigan. Really more of an NFL move, more of a blocking guy, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But overall for Seattle, I mean, think they did what they needed to do. We know they got two running backs. We know their receiver room's loaded. They didn't need to bring in any skill position players, maybe outside of a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't mind what they did here. I mean, just from an NFL standpoint, I'll just give them a B-. I mean, I think they did what they had to do. Do you agree with that, Ann?
Yeah, I'd say a B-. I really like the Byron Murphy pick.
Yeah, Ty, really Seattle.
Yeah, C+.
C+?
Yeah, I'll give them a B.
A B? Okay. Last thing I want to say about Seattle, and I want to ask you guys, since we're not talking a lot of draft things with them, Sam Howell, Geno Smith. What do we think about this now? I mean, Geno's got some pressure on him. I mean, do you think that we see Sam Howell at some point this season?
Yeah,
100%.
Yep.
And if we do, I mean, this should help JSN and company.
I'd put a 9 out of 10 on that. I think we'll definitely see him at some point, barring an injury or just Geno, you know, underperforming and them losing games.
And I, you know, and here's the thing. I love that buy Sam Howell.
Yeah.
Like, you can get him super, super cheap. Last year was the time to sell when you could get first out of him.
Mm-hmm.
Now's the time to buy again.
Yeah.
Because he will come. I think he's coming. I'm like you. I almost give that a 9 out of 10.
Yep.
So that's something to watch for. But we're going to go over to a team that really did a lot from fantasy relevance. It's going to be the Arizona Cardinals. Ty, I know you'll love this. Pick 104, bringing in Marvin Harrison Jr. I'm going to start with you because I know this is your man. How do you feel about him in Arizona, and what do you think about this offense?
Yeah, it's going to be fireworks, no doubt about that. Kyler Murray's me throwing him the football. And I'm telling you, man, Arizona, they're going to have one of the top offenses here coming up. I mean, they got some really nice weapons over there. And I just I think Marvin Harrison's quickly going to be one of the top guys in the league. The guy can do everything. He was easily my wide receiver one. Neighbors really wasn't in the rearview mirror.
That's why I called on you first.
Yeah, I mean, I really like Neighbors too, but that just shows you how much I like Marvin Harrison. He's going to be a generational talent, and I think Arizona were one of the big winners in this draft. Even by trading back a lot with the players they didn't want, they got a lot of draft picks in this draft, man.
They do a good job doing that. They always do that. They do
trade
a really
back,
nice.
Trade forward. Like, they do a good job.
Yeah. They definitely do. But how do you guys feel about Marv? We knew Ty was excited, but boy, landing in Arizona, this is one we hoped for and it happened.
Marv's clear, like, and I never usually do this, he's my clear cut, like, 102. Like, I love the landing spot, man. I was really nervous that he was going to go to New England at 3. It's like, oh, no. But he survives and goes to Arizona. And Arizona, and I love Caleb Williams. I'm taking Caleb Williams 1-1. Arizona might have got the best player in the draft, like the pure best player in the draft to pick four.
Totally, 100% agree. 100% agree. You can't deny that. Like, as far as a sure talent perspective goes.
Yeah, just, dude, his ceiling so freaking high and his floor is so high. Like, I can see him being the wide receiver one. Like,
yeah,
I don't think that happens. Like,
he could easily come out and pull a Justin Jefferson type of year. Yeah,
I can see it, man. Like pure film. He's one of the best guys he is the best guy I've ever watched. Now, like I said, you got to take into consideration, you know, when we had this debate earlier in the year. If he goes to New England and then Neighbors would have went here, I would have been like, oh, shit. Like, if I could get another first-round pick, then – but I think that the community would have went crazy. Like, Marvin Harrison was one of them guys that was really hyped. And as soon as you turned on your TV and you seen he went to the Cardinals, he's unbuyable.
Yeah.
Like, dude, he's unbuyable. Like,
that's a dream scenario.
Yeah. Like what are you going to give up for Marvin Harrison? Like, 4 first? Like,
right.
So, like,
I don't even know if I would do that.
So, like, right now, knowing the landing spot, we wait for this. Knowing the landing spot, where do you have him, like off top of your head in your rankings for next year?
Ugh.
Right off the top.
Like, pure dynasty.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I got Jefferson ahead of him. I would have
Lamb.
I would have Lamb ahead of him yet.
Chase.
I would not have Chase over him. No.
Amon-Ra, I would.
I would have Amon.
I have him at 4. I have him at 4. I have him just behind Amon-Ra.
Yeah, I'd still take him. Yeah, you got to take Amon-Ra. You don't have to. I mean, I think there's a clear case, but he's probably my wide receiver 4.
Yep, overall.
How about for you guys?
I would probably have him at 5. I think I still have Chase in there.
So Chase ahead of him?
He's 4, but he'd be nipping on Amon-Ra's heels.
Yeah, me too. He's nipping.
It's that close.
Yeah, I just – and I know they're going to get it done. I just want Jared Goff to be signed.
Right.
Like, it just hasn't been done yet. Like, 9.9 out of 10, I'm sure it's going to happen. I'll just feel a little more cozy when it does.
I'm with you on that. But, yeah, I had to ask you guys that. I'm excited for Marvin Harrison Jr., and I will say this. I think Michael Wilson is going to be one of the best buys.
He's a big winner right now.
Yep.
Because Marv's going to get so much coverage, and he's still got McBride, who's playing really good. Michael Wilson's probably going to be kind of that forgotten guy that he's good.
Yep.
He's a good player.
Fades to the background, but he is a good player. I'm with you there. We're going to head over to their next pick, though. It's going to be Trey Benson in the 3rd round landing here. Muscles, I love the line, James Conner never dies. That's one that you made up. We'll have to probably make a shirt like that. But honestly, I think we are getting close to the end finally.
Yeah, we are.
And if for a running back, this is one of your better landing spots. And Trey Benson lands here in the third round. He's the second running back off the board. How do you guys feel about Benson in this offense and with him, with Connor? How fast do you think he could overtake him?
I like it. I mean, I definitely like it. He's probably my running back two now. I mean, he was five pre-draft, but he gets the capital. He tests really athletic. James Conner's always banged up. I mean, he's been somewhat healthy, though, for
himself. Yeah, yeah, he has.
But he's just he is an explosive player. I mean, Conner's like just not explosive, but he's just a bruiser.
Yeah.
So, like, you kind of get the best of both worlds with Trey Benson. He's a bruiser, but yet, like, he is very explosive. So, I don't know if he'll take over, really, but I could see a big-time work. I could almost see it like how the Derrick Henry, Tajay Spears went. Like, it almost becomes a 50-50. Like, pretty damn close.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And honestly, I'm like you. He's my running back, too, right now.
Yeah.
With the landing spot. We know Connor gets hurt all the time.
I just feel like there is a clear tier, though, with Jonathan Brooks. Like, I would...
There's
a clear tier break there.
100%. He is the best running back in this class. He got the capital. He got a nice landing spot as well. So, for me, I'm with you there. But Trey Benson would be my second choice.
Yeah.
If Brooks was gone... But I feel like, you know, in this offense, and I've said it, like, you want pieces of this offense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it is on the ascent. But overall, consensus on Arizona, how do you guys give them a grade? I give them an A,
for sure. Yeah, I give them an A, man. They got a lot of defense as well, and they needed that.
Ty, how do you feel about Arizona?
Yeah, I'll give them an A+. I feel like they knocked this draft out of the park.
Yeah, they have been. Must.
Yeah, I'll give them an A+ also. I think they did a great job of getting Marvin Harrison and then doing the whole trade up, trade back. I mean, look at how many draft picks they got.
Yeah. So we say big winner Michael Wilson, big winner Kyler Murray too.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, he is going to be, as long as Kyler's healthy with this offense, man, he should be rolling. And I love Jonathan Gannon too.
Yeah, I do too.
But we're going to head over to the last team in the NFC, and it's the last team in the NFC West. It's the defending NFC champion, San Francisco 49ers. Round one, Ricky Pearsall. That's all we got to say. He was a guy we really liked on the tape. We figured he'd be a high mid-second-round guy, but he gets the late
first. I was shocked he was the first.
Yeah, he gets the late first-round capital, and you know, a guy that was in our top 10 receiver rankings pre-draft. And lands in San Francisco here. I love it, man. I think this is a great spot for him. What do you think about Ricky in San Francisco?
Be patient. Be patient. You know, we've all said he can kind of be an inside and outside guy, I feel like. I think he'd be really good inside. And if they do decide to put him in the slot and run three wide formations, I think George Kittle takes a bit of a bump here.
Yeah.
You know?
And do we feel... And we'll talk about, they brought in Jacob Coing as well, and we'll talk about him in a minute. Do we feel a receiver is definitely on the move?
Oh, 100%.
I don't. Maybe not this year, depending on what they can get, because they're a championship team, man. Like,
they're just go for it, maybe ride it out.
They are in a window that it is very hard to get in, and they are in that window. So you got to remember, injuries happen. I mean, for my own, you know, just... selfishness. I wish somebody was moved.
I
don't think they do.
I'm with you. I think they will try to ride it out. It's just, how ugly does it get with Ayuk? Like, does it get super ugly?
See, I think they're gonna trade Ayuk.
I see, and I would rather trade Debo.
Because
you're paying them all that money,
right?
And I like Debo. Like, Debo's a beast, but man, he's always banged up.
Like, try to keep Ayuk.
Yeah, I would want to keep Ayuk.
Yep, I'm with you. And, you know, what's funny is that they had offers on both players, I believe, during the draft, and they didn't pull the trigger on it.
When we say, you know, this could be the JSN situation, man.
Yep.
This could exactly, because I think Ricky Pearsall and JSN, I think JSN's still a bit of a better player, but I personally think that Ricky Pearsall would be, you know, nipping on his heels. Ricky Pearsall's no slouch.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that for sure. And then we'll head on over to their next fantasy relevant pick. They took Isaac Grendo out of Louisville, round four. I mean, is this the handcuff to Christian McCaffrey, or do we still believe a little more in Elijah Mitchell?
Well, that, and there's a guy that I know, TJ, you and I kind of liked him. He went undrafted. What was the number one thing that I said? I would love to see him in San Francisco, and that's Cody Schrader.
Yep.
So Cody Schrader is just a fast guy. I believe he got hurt at the combine. That's why he didn't, you know, to continue to participate, man. But, like, you've seen some of the runs he made at Missouri. Like, I thought he looked really good, and I thought he had a good Senior Bowl. Bit surprised he went undrafted, but, I mean, man, I think this is a perfect fit for him.
I agree with that.
And I think Guerrero, we don't know a lot about Guerrero, but what we do know, he's super freaking fast. So
right. So, like, I mean, Guerrero just, I mean, would you take him later, or would you pass? Like, how would you feel about it?
He's going to, what, like the third round, early fourth. I think I would pass, and then I think I'd just pick up Cody Schrader off your waiver wire.
Yeah, take the gamble on him, better fit.
We see this happen all the time where the second guy is more relevant.
Right.
That is true. And that's something to watch for, guys. Cody Schrader is available. Pick him up, because someone's going to take this handcuff job behind Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
So you got to keep that in mind. But we're going to go over to the last fantasy relevant pick the 49ers made. Talked about it a minute ago. Jacob Cohen, a guy we loved, gets fourth round capital. Ends up in San Francisco in an offense, and I've said it, guys, and it's the same thing. Like, when Kyle Shanahan takes these type of players and later in drafts, my antenna goes up because he's going to utilize them somehow, and this guy is a great route runner, and they have something in mind for him. So I love the Jacob Cohen pick. I love getting him later in fourth, fifth round rookie drafts. He's going there. A lot of people don't show him a lot of love.
No.
But I love the film, and I like the landing spot. I know it's kind of crowded, but you never know.
Yeah, it's crowded. He's one that I'd want to wait maybe until next year. But if you can get him in the fourth round, like, he's a good player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a good player, and I'm like you, man. I mean, we love Ricky Pearsall, but what if Ricky Pearsall doesn't just fit the scheme or work out, and it's Jacob Cohen? Like,
yep.
It's always good to take the second guy.
You could always stack him on your taxi squad.
Yeah, I think Jacob Cohen's a perfect taxi squad stash.
Yeah, he is. He really is. Yeah. I thought that right away, too.
And if he doesn't work out, just take him off your roster in 2 years. It don't mean nothing.
Yeah, but overall draft grade, I give the 49ers a B+, because outside of the other positions, you know, for NFL relevance compared to fantasy relevance, I think they did well, too.
Yeah, I'd give them a B. I'd give
them
a B.
Ty, how you feel about 49ers?
B-.
B-?
Yeah, I got a B.
B?
Yep.
Okay.
They're always solid, besides Trey Lance.
Yep. But this is going to do it for the NFC side of the NFL post-draft winners and losers. We talk players. We talk teams. There's so much to dive into. We're going to do another show. We're going to do the AFC show. It's going to be coming up next in a couple of days. Like Andy said, I'm glad we took the time to just digest this.
Yeah, man. You have to, because so much happens. First reactions sometimes are the best reactions, but yet, you know, you start looking at the situation like, oh, I could see this. So.
Yeah, and like, I'm glad we talked about some players, right? Like, we're not worried about Rashad White.
No.
You know, we're a little bit more worried about Kirk Cousins now.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, like, we're giving you our instincts and reactions on
it. And another thing that's important, man, like, you got to sometimes do what the NFL tells you as well. Like, they're telling us something's not right with Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
Like, that's what they're telling us.
Yep, and that's just like draft capital. You know, I see it time and time again, and we'll get to Jalen Polk in the next show. But people are still taking him in the third round, fourth round. I mean, like, it's stupid, guys. He got high second round capital for a reason.
Yeah.
And Ty, I know you're excited. On the next show, we're going to get to talk about Drake May and New England and your boys up there up north.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know we get a lot of slander, but if we're going to do draft grades, I was going to give Washington an F. It's generational talent.
Ty is a big Drake May fan, so he's excited to talk about it. We appreciate you guys tuning in with us, man. Everything's been going great. We're going to be headed into the summer here. We're going to be doing a lot of great stuff this summer.
Yep.
I mean, make sure to follow us on Twitter at DynastyDNA_. Check us out on Spotify, Apple Pod, Stitcher, Google, Amazon. We're on all the big ones. We appreciate you guys' support. If you're really enjoying the content, please 5-star and follow. It means a lot to us. We love to hear from you, too.
Yeah, subscribe to the YouTube channel. We would love to, you know, have you over there as well. And one thing I want to add to this, too, if anybody is interested in writing, message TJ and I, you know, or Muscles and Ty. Like, message us. We're always looking for writers and just try to get people's names out there. So
Definitely love to always have good Dynasty Fantasy Football fans and people join the team.
Yeah.
So love to hear from you on that as well. And join the Dynasty DNA Discord. The link's in the Dynasty DNA Twitter at DynastyDNA_. Go over there. You can click the Discord. The link's free. We'd love to have you. You can join it as well. We appreciate all the support, guys. You guys are the best. The DNA Strand crew, it means a lot to us. We really, really appreciate it. But we're going to be coming at you guys with the next show, the post-NFL draft winners and losers from a dynasty perspective from the AFC side here in the next couple of days. Make sure to tune into that. We hope you guys have a great next couple of days, and we will see you all on the next episode of Dynasty DNA.
See ya.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Dynasty DNA Fantasy Football Podcast. Become a part of the DNA Strand crew today over on Discord, and be sure to check out the website dynastydna.net for all important fantasy football information. And follow us on Twitter at DynastyDNA_.